Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Several times in his great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus called attention to something people had heard taught in religion, and he would follow by saying, "But I say unto you." There are many teachings today of which Jesus does not approve, about which he would say, "You have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you." Before we accept any teaching, we need to be sure that that teaching is authorized by the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And he said in Matthew 24, verse 4, "Take heed that no man deceive you." In 1 John 4, verse 1, we have this statement, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now, in view of the fact that there are false teachers, as the Lord often warned, we need to heed the Lord's warning as given by his servant Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." And we need to follow the example of the Bereans, of whom we read in Acts 17, verse 11. "Now, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily, whether those things were so." So what we want to do this afternoon is notice some popular statements that we have heard said, and then see what Jesus says about that. We've heard it said, number one, that it doesn't really matter what one believes, just as long as that individual is sincere in his actions. Now, is this true or not? If it is true, then why did the Lord give this warning in 1 John 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world"? Why would the Lord tell us to be on our guard, to be mindful and alert, and take heed lest man deceive us? If it really doesn't matter what a man believes, just as long as he is sincere, would there be any such thing as false doctrine? And what would constitute false doctrine if it didn't matter what a man believed? Or why did the Lord say, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God"? 2 John, verse 9. And why did Paul tell Timothy, "Charge some that they teach no other doctrine"? 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Why did Jesus say of some, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men"? My friend, it definitely does matter what one believes. The Bible says very plainly, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul told Titus that there were those teaching things which they ought not, in Titus 1, verse 11. Suppose someone sincerely believed such teaching, would this man be all right? What about Paul or Saul? Nobody could question his sincerity, yet he was wrong in what he believed. Would he have been saved had he not made the change he made after the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus? And what about the case of Cornelius mentioned in Acts chapter 10? Nobody could question his sincerity. He was a man who was a devout man, a God-fearing man, one who gave alms to the people, one who prayed to God always, but he was a lost man. And did it really matter what he believed? If not, why did he need the gospel preached to him, as is indicated in Acts 10? Many people today are sincerely mistaken. But does their sincerity offset their error? Suppose a very sincere man is an atheist. Would the very fact that he is sincere offset his denial that God exists? Or, in other words, would God excuse a man on the grounds of ignorance? Suppose one denies Christ and is sincere in his denial. Will that sincerity compensate for his rejection of Christ? If so, then what did Jesus mean when he said, "If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins," John 8, verse 24. Friends, it does matter what one believes. And what you might have heard to the contrary is certainly not the teachings of our Lord. Well, a second thing that we've heard said, commonly heard, you've heard it said that you can prove anything by the Bible. Is this true? If so, how do we account for it? Jesus says that God's Word is the truth. He prayed to His Father, and part of that prayer, recorded in John 17, verse 17, where it says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word is truth." And we know that truth must run in parallel lines. No one truth can contradict some other truth. You might have heard that one can prove anything but the Bible, but the Lord certainly doesn't speak about that. It may be that the basis for this idea that one can prove anything but the Bible is that there are so many conflicting doctrines taught by men, all of them claiming to be sincere and claiming that they're based upon the Bible. Does the Bible really authorize all of these conflicting doctrines? We know it certainly does not. The Scriptures never refer to the doctrine of Christ in the plural as doctrines of Christ. It's always singular, simply, the doctrine of Christ. And I'm aware of the fact that the advocates of the various doctrines make a claim that their doctrines have come from the Bible. But a book of truth cannot contradict itself. Peter tells us that it's possible to wrest the Scriptures, that is, to distort and twist the Scriptures. But he also warns that those who do that, do it to their own destruction, 2 Peter 3, verse 16. And the Apostle Paul tells us that some would pervert the gospel of Christ, but those who would pervert it stand accursed before God, Galatians 1, verse 7 and verse 8. Now, passages are often taken out of their setting and out of their context and made to say what they were not really intending to mean at all. We must always study the context of a passage of Scripture to see exactly what was being told us there. We must be sure we are making the right application of a Scripture. And if at first reading a passage seems to contradict some other passage, then you need to study that passage of Scripture more closely. For the meaning you have attached to one of those passages is wrong. Truth cannot contradict itself. It's a failure to study diligently and find the exact meaning of a Scripture that's caused so many people to believe that you can prove just about anything but the Bible. And we're admonished in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth." A failure to rightly divide the word of truth has resulted in a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding, and led some to even argue that you can prove anything but the Bible, which certainly is not true. Well, let's look at the third thing that we've heard it said. We've heard it said that all depends upon the way a man interprets the Bible. Now let me ask, is that true? What does the Lord say about it? The Holy Spirit informs us that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, 2 Peter 1, verse 20. That ought to settle the matter for us right there. We must not put private interpretation upon the Scriptures, but we must diligently and prayerfully study and search the Scriptures to see exactly what each one means. And may we let the Scriptures speak for themselves, and not corrupt the meaning with our own private interpretation. Another thing we've heard it said that man is saved by faith alone. That just as long as one will believe in Christ, that's all that's necessary. Some teach that the very moment a man believes, he is immediately saved. What does the Bible say? We're told in Romans 5, verse 1, the Bible says that we're justified by faith, but it does not say that we're justified by faith alone. On the contrary, the Scriptures tell us in James 2, verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. But doesn't another Scripture say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? Yes, it does. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. So is there a contradiction between what Paul says in Ephesians 2 and what James says in James 2? Is one saying that we're justified by works only, and another saying we're saved by faith only? Where's the harmony between these two passages? Well, if we will study each one carefully, we'll find that Paul was speaking of works of human merit, and James was speaking of the works of God's righteousness. In another scripture it is said, in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's found in Acts 10, verse 35. Man cannot be saved by his own works, but he is saved by the works of righteousness. To be saved, a man's faith must be at work as Abraham's faith was at work, or as Paul expressed it in Galatians 5, verse 6, but faith which worketh by love. So if a man is saved the moment he believes, why wouldn't the devil be saved? James informs us in James 2:19 with the question, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, since the devils believe that there is a God, and they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, are they going to be saved? On several occasions in the Bible, the demons acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God. But surely no one would contend that the devils are going to be saved. Yet they would be saved if the moment one believes, he's immediately saved. No, friends, faith alone is not enough. For even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2, verse 17. And again, the inspired apostle said, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:2. Faith alone, then, is not enough. It must be accomplished with complete submission to the Lord's will that will lead one to work the righteousness of God. And doing the works of God's righteousness means believing in God, believing in Christ. It means repentance, giving up sin, for God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. It means confessing the sweet name of Jesus, Romans 10, verse 13. It means receiving the cleansing blood of Christ that's appropriated in the waters of baptism, Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It means faithfully living for the Lord. We've heard many things said, but we need to hear the words of Christ, but I say unto you,